grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 11. "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." This is our gospel lesson. At which point you should be saying, why'd he stop there? What's going on here? Okay? And this goes back years and years. It was when I was a teenager, I was in high school, and the more modern, more up-to-date translations had shifted from saying blessed to happy. So we asked the pastor, and he said, well, they're trying to convey that the happiness of being blessed or something like that. And you know, it didn't satisfy. Happier? And I look at the verse, happier those who mourn? Didn't fit. Started searching for, what is the meaning of this word blessed? How many high schoolers do you know who went off and bought a Bible commentary? It just kept bothering. And you know, to translate a happy doesn't work. And there's a worse translation, and that is to call these the Beatitudes, as if our being a certain way was going to gain blessings from God. And we know that doesn't work that way. The Beatitudes, as others call them, makes these into law. And you had better this and you had better that, but these are the Beatitudes. And we know there's something important and precious in them. The Beatitudes, first, bottom line, are contrary to what the rest of the world says. Jesus is not a great philosopher figuring out some great truth about life. He's the Son of God who came to save. The Beatitudes are not ways of finding happiness in life. It doesn't work that way. In fact, so much does it not work that way that there was a point that I sat down and wrote a set of anti-Beatitudes. Why would a preacher do that? Anti-Beatitudes? Well, what I was doing was saying, if this world's wisdom is to be expressed in those words, blessed, then what would it look like? Well, something like this. Blessed are the clever and inventive, for they shall find tax loopholes. Skipping through some of these. Blessed are the assertive, they shall get their way. Blessed are the good-looking, for they shall have many romances. Blessed are they who know where to put a limit on religion, for they shall not be called fanatics. Okay, this is this world's wisdom. And it points out that what Jesus is preaching here is directly contrary to all of that. He is speaking new and different truths. Which leads a whole different direction. And in order to really get the Beatitudes, you have to go back to the beginning of the Bible. And notice in Genesis chapter 1 what happened there. It says, "And God said, let there be light." And when God said, "Let there be light," what happened? There was light. His word makes it happen. Let the earth bring forth, and the earth brings forth. This is the Word of God that speaks into nothing and creates. This is the Word of God, and in fact, there is a passage in the New Testament that says, He calls those things that are not as though they were. And when He calls them, they become. So, God speaks His truth and makes it so. Can we carry that over from Genesis into the Gospels and words that Jesus spoke? I think so. To the paralyzed man, Jesus says, "Rise, take up your bed and go." And what happens? Instantly, he is healed. He speaks to someone else and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And their sins are forgiven. He takes his stand outside a certain tomb of a fellow who's been dead for 4 days. And with that man's sisters standing there, and with those who disliked Jesus standing there, stands outside that tomb and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." What happens? Lazarus is alive and he's coming out. And Jesus, he turns to the thief on the one side and he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And all these things become true because Jesus speaks them true. This is the Word of God. This is basic to our Christian faith, that the Word of God is a powerful, life-giving, faith-giving, sin-forgiving, raising from the dead Word of God. And if Jesus is going to say, "Blessed are," then reality is changed. And he pronounces the blessing, and it must be so. It is so in connection with him. Well, we went to Genesis. How about the other end of the Bible? The book of Revelation, chapter 21. He who sits on the throne says, "Behold, I am making all things new." That's the grand scope of everything. That everything is made new by the power and the Word of God. And then to the Beatitudes again. The Beatitudes are the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. They're the start to a sermon. And he's going to teach for some time about the Word of God, about the law, the gospel, sin, salvation, what it means to belong to Him, what it means to follow Him. But he begins with the word blessed. And the reason why he begins with that word is because this is something that we could not do, we could not accomplish, we could not earn, we could not get there. You cannot get there from here, as the old farmer said. Okay? You can't do it. But we have somebody else who comes into our world, and as he comes into our world, he brings the kingdom of God. He speaks something that is contrary to everything that everybody sees all the way around them. And it is so. Put these things into context. It was in Palestine. It was under occupation. The Roman soldiers were there. The people were badly put upon. And if the Romans weren't bad enough, their own leaders were finding all kinds of creative ways to dig into their pockets. The tax collectors were reviled. The leadership was scorned. the chief priests, the Sadducees, were unfaithful and had renounced the faith of the Old Testament, not believing that there was a life after this world, and trying to get everything that they could out of their position in life. And the word blessed is given to a people who know everything but that. This is why the word blessed is a word to be treasured in our day also, and in our lives also. It's absolutely amazing to have the Son of God step up and pronounce these things for lives that have been through horrible experiences, to us who have gone wrong as often as we've tried to go right, to us who have in how many ways fallen short of the kingdom of God. And this Son of God pronounces blessed. By what right does he do that? Here's the sweet part. By what right he does that is he gathers all of the curse. Every curse spoken over our lives that we actually deserved, he gathers that into himself. To suffer all of that in one man, in one person, on one day of judgment, and the fiery wrath of God poured out on him at the cross, pulling all of those things into himself and giving us the word blessed. It's an astonishing and breathtaking thing that God does, changing all of reality, all of the world, and all of our lives. Where we find ourselves simply being given what our Lord Jesus has earned and being told it's a gift. Enjoy it. Live with it. Thank and praise God. Sing for joy because it's a gift. That's what we've been given. And we hear about it here. We gather here to enjoy and to celebrate that. And outside these walls, there are countless multitudes that do not know the sweetness of that gift, but know only the problems and the struggles of life, the heartache of falling short, the regret of having your life go off the wrong way. And the sweetness of the simple word blessed is something that we've been given to carry in this world and to invite others to know that truth in Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.